So now we're on Lamed Vav on the days, right? The question of the pepper. So the Gemara says that Rav Shesha says that it's a shahakol, and Rava says there's no bracha at all. And the Gemara says that Rava is consistent with his tam, that if you eat a pepper on Yom Kippur, you're potter. And if you eat ginger on Yom Kippur, you're potter. Okay. So the Gemara asks that Rav Meir said that what? Rav Meir said that why does the Torah say eats macho by Orla? Once it says Varaltam Orla Soros Kirio, so then of course it's an Ace Macho. It's an Ace that if it's a prey, it's an Ace Macho. It has a fruit.
Low Yeachel, it's obviously talking about.
No, it says Varaltam Orla So S Kirio. So you have to, the Orla is on the pre of the Ace. So if the Ace has a pre, of course it's an Ace Macho. It's not an Elon Sarak, it's not a barren tree. It's an Eitz Machol. So why does it say Eitz Machol? So he says to include Eitz Shetam Eitzo Pirio Shavet, to include a tree whose fruit, whose wood and tree and fruit are the same. And what is that? That's the pepper. So that comes to teach you that the pepper is Chayav and Arla. Right? And it also teaches you that Eristrol is not lacking anything. Yeah. So that's a kasha. He's saying, so why is that a kasha? That if the papal is an eight, so why, and the chayv and orla, so it's a pre. I'm sorry, it's a pre. Chayv and orla, so it's a food. So it should be a boy pre eight. It would seem it should be, certainly shouldn't be a shakal. It certainly shouldn't get no bracha. Let's put it that way. Right? Shouldn't get no bracha, and Ravis says no bracha at all. It means, and you put on Yom Kippur, it's not even a food. So the Gemara says no kasher. One is fresh and one is dried. Correct? When it's fresh, then it's chayev and orla. But the dried one gets no bracha and is putter and Yom Kippur. Okay. Yeah. So first we said that if you look at Tosfos, Tosis in Sukkah, right? Tosis in Sukkah, and Rashi in Sukkah, because this Gemara is brought down by the Esrei, but it's also Eitz Pri. So Rashi says over there, what's the Havamina to say that just because it's an Eitz Pri, it's going to be Putter in Arla? If it's a Pri, it should be Chayav and Arla. What's the difference if the Eitz like the Pri? So interesting over there is that Rashi and Tosis both learn that it's not a conceptual question of Eitz Pri. There's no difference because the Eitz tastes like the Pri. It's not a reason to disqualify it to pater from Orla. But the Eitz Pri is just a way of identifying the pepper. That's an identification of the pepper. And that's why the Gemara knows, that's why the Rameir says it's the pepper. Because why isn't it the Esrog? But Esrog is Pasha that you chayav. But there was a havamina that the pepper tree would be putter. Why is the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos? Rashi says because it's too small, and Tosfos said because it's good. It's so full as yavish. So the end is the pre is to be dried. But so we made the point that you see over here that the drasha, that the reboy of eitz pre is not a reboy conceptually of an idea of an eitz pre. Because there's no havamina that just because the eitz tastes like the pre, it should be potter. But it's actually identifying a particular object, which has the characteristic of eitz pre. It's just describing the pepper. It's really what the Torah says, and the pepper. But it calls the pepper by a certain characteristic instead of a name. But what was the question according to... So I don't know, Rashi is difficult. Tosfos doesn't make sense to say that the tree has to be a certain height. I don't know the question by Rashi, but Tosfos has different, is more conceptual, has a different idea. That since the pre will eventually be a dried entity, that we hold, you're not even chayav and Yom Kippur for eating, Tosfos said the havamina to say that you wouldn't be chayav and Arla. And I think the Rashi was similar lashon by the havamina of Arla. And the maskona is, that even though it's dried out in the end, apparently it's still the fresh pepper is still chayvim. So what's the machlok? What's the havamina maskana? What's the havamina maskana? If because it's going to be dried out in the end, it'll be putter and orlo.
Everything's going to be dried out eventually.
All right, so it doesn't mean it gets dry. It means that that's the way it's, that's what it's destined for. That's how it's, that's what it's grown for. It's essentially grown to be dried out and used as a spice. That's the pepper trade. I mean, that's why pepper is grown.
And that's like kind of a stupid question, but I mean, that seems like that opens up the whole thing. That since over here, this is the way that people eat it at, in that way, or they're growing it for that way. That's the significance.
That's right. So maybe he's saying it shouldn't be considered the pre. In other words, we compared it to the yayin. That by yayin we say, by the geffen we say that it's not chayav in orlo until it's kepulalavan, right? Until it exhibits a certain shear of mashka, a certain quality of mashka. Because there, the ikar pri is the yayin. So you see that we go by the sof. That since the ikar pri is yayin, even though the grape itself is edible, and by all edible fruit, it's considered orla mishiyotziu. So why is the grape not chayiv in orla until it's kapul alavan? Because since it's essentially for yayin, it has to be the pre of yayin, and it's not the pre of yayin until it has the quality of mashke. So that's the question. That strengthens the question of the Pal Polem. That you see goes by, you define what the pre is by the ultimate use. So just like by the yayin, the pre of the geffen is considered when it has the mashke, not just when it's the entity that will be a fruit, like other peros. So why don't you say the same thing over here by Palpolem, since eventually it'll be a non-pre, so it's never a pre. Right? That was Tosas Kasha. So we said that...
Why are you saying that it will be a non-pre? Isn't it
because, no, there's no bracha at all. No bracha at all. Once it's dried out, it's tavlin. It's not even an ochel. Not even chayim yom kippur. So we said that possible that was the maskan over here, that was the question. What role can your das play in being koveya the shame of the pre? That was the havamina was you can be koveya the entity. Your das will define the entity. And if in the end it's not a pre, then it's never as a shame pre. But the maskana is saying no, that you can't change the shame pre. The only thing you see from yayin is that if there are two peros, there's a pre of achila and there's a pre of mashke, then the das will be koveya, which is the ikar pre. But das to use it as something else is not going to be oker. You can't be oker the shame pre. You can only modify what it's within. If you have a das within the two qualities of the pre, you can be koveya that ikar. You can be koveya one of them as the ikar. But you can't be mafkia the shame pre.
What were the two dasas? The das
shasia and achila. For a grape or for wine? For a grape or for wine?
You say what you said again? I'm sorry.
Yes, saying that you can't, just because by the grape we can say that we're koveya the ikar for yayin, doesn't mean that whatever your das is going to define the thing. Doesn't mean if my das is for spices, then on the tree it's considered the spice and not a pre. And all it means is that if there are two shamos of pre, there's a pre of mashke and a pre of ochel, I can be koveya and say this is essentially a pre of mashke, right? But if it's but it has to be a kvias in the shame pre. It's not that I can just be koveya into another entity, right? That form I das can't affect. It's like you have to have a das in the inyan for the das to be ola. If it's a das that's not in the realm of the pre at all, it's just it's negligible. Yeah.
And tavlin's not in the realm of the pre. It's just
no, because tavlin is not a pre. It's not considered the use. It's considered like a new different thing. It's not even an ocha. It's not even considered. It doesn't even have shame ocha. It would be like using it for paint or something. Right? Like, let's say there was a food that you can turn it into a dye. It doesn't matter. That wouldn't change it. As long as it's still edible in the food. Right? You can't say, now this is a pre of paint. That's not an idea of pre.
Since it's not a pre, by the top. Since it's
not an idea of pre,
I can't have das.
That's right. You can't have a das of defining this as a non-pre.
So it's a structural... Pre is a structural thing.
Pre goes by, in terms of achila. Because oral is in terms of ochel. So that's to be a das of which ochel is the essential ochel. But I can't make das that's not an ochel. If in fact it is right now. All right. Yeah.
But it's not an ochel.
Yeah, because when it's fresh, we say you make a bracha, you make the bracha on it. But the question is like this. So that's a side point. That's a side point of what the Havamina by Orla was. But in terms of the question, the Machlokas, Rav Sheshes and Rava, whether on the dried pepper you make the bracha at all, right, that we said is a different question. Take a look at the Rambam. I guess we should go. We finish this because we could probably get Daven now. 12:15 is time, Daven?
12:14.
According to the Rambam, take a look at the Rambam. Yeah. The Rambam says, why do you make no bracha on the pepper? So he says, because it's tavlenu, below ochel. It's a spice, it's not a food.
Okay.
Right? So he said like this. What's the machlokas between Rava and Rav Sheshes? I mean, you must say that it's edible, even in the dry state. Otherwise, Rav Sheshes wouldn't make any bracha. Right? Otherwise, Rav Sheshes wouldn't make any bracha. It can't be a machlokas on metzias. So what's the question? If it's edible in the dry state, why should you make no bracha? So that's what we said like this. We said that the question is, we said we relied on a certain idea that we had before with the kemach of the seorim, that if you have a, if there's a reason why the thing is not eaten, right, that has nothing to do with its shame ochel. For instance, people don't eat kimcha desari because it's kosher lekukiyani. It has nothing to do with the shame ochel. Then that's not going to be mafkia the shame ochel, right? But the question over here is that the reason why the palpolin are not eaten dry is not because intrinsically they don't have a shem ochel. Not because intrinsically they're lacking as an ochel. Of course, Rav Sheshes holds they could be eaten. But because of the qualities of ochel that they do contain, they're better as a spice. So, it's an unusual case. It's not a case where...
Generally not even wet, correct?
They generally are... Well, we're only talking about the dry. The dry is the question.
Dry versus the spice?
No, the dry is the spice.
Dry is
Rava
the spice.
Says
okay.
In the dry, you make no bracha if you eat it on its own. And Rav Sheshes says you do make a bracha if you eat it on its own. Cool. So we're saying like this. Because in the dry state, although it still is edible, and if there were no... idea of spicing food, for instance, it would be consumed as a food like salt. Not common, but it would be consumed like salt. So do you say that since its very qualities of ochel, the very qualities that it has that make it an ochel, which is taste, make it better as a spice? So therefore, the nihug of the olam is to always use it as a spice and to always pass it up as an ochel. And that nihug is coming from its qualities of ochel. Do you say now that's mafkia the shem ochel? No, everybody would agree that if the practice of not eating it is based on something outside the realm of ochel, that wouldn't affect the bracha at all. And everybody would agree that if in the realm of ochel is passed over, like it's a yerek mar, it's a very bitter food, that's not considered an ochel, that would get no bracha. The question is here, that the nihug is to pass it over in the realm of ochel because of a quality of ochel that it has. Because of the fact that its pungency makes it better as a spice than as a food. So Rava says it goes by the nihug of the derech achila. And as long as it's in the realm of ochel that the nihug comes from, that's considered a kvius in the realm of ochel. Now that the Rambam says the tavlin, and it's not an ochel. It's kavua now as a tavlin, not as an ochel. Whereas Rav Sheshe says that you have to look at it on its own in terms of conceptually, how is it? And since conceptually as an ochel, it could be eaten, and it's only passed over because of an accidental thing that it has a better use, that's not mafkiyat from the Shem Ochel. That's not mafkiyat the Shem Ochel. Now we also made the point that you might think it odd that you can just be mafkiyat something from the Shem Ochel. If it's Ochel, it's Ochel. Why does it go by how people treat it? But the fact is that is how it goes. And that's why the Rambam says, in the after the Palpolim, he says, B'chein ochlim she'enam ru'yim la'achila. What does it mean, ochlim she'enam ru'yim la'achila? It's similar to what he has in Shvises also. If you look by Yom Kippur, because the Gemara equates the two. Over there he says, ma'cholim she'enam ru'yim la'achal adam. So he says, in other words, they are foods, they're edible, they're digestible, they're even possibly nutritive, but he has examples like esev ma'ah. He doesn't have an example like eating wood or eating straw. That's not even an ochel. But it means it's an ochel, it is edible, some type of herb or grass or vegetation. But because of its qualities of ochel, it's deemed not to fit for human consumption. You understand? Not that it's intrinsically incapable of being eaten and digested, but based on its qualities, it's rejected. And that's why the Rambam says if a guy is already soveya until the point where he's disgusted by food, if he eats more food on Yom Kippur, right? Usually that happens before Yom Kippur. But if he eats more food on Yom Kippur in that state, then all the food that he eats at that point, he says, is like machol that's not roi l'achil asadam. He says even though that extra would be roi for another person, to this person, it's considered like a food that's not roi l'achila. Why? Because by Yom Kippur, in terms of Isser, it goes by your personal state. And to him now, you can't say, Ram apparently held, how do you resolve the question? You can't say it's not a food, and you can't say he didn't do a Maisa Achila. So the Ram held, on Yom Kippur, there's a certain idea, legabe you, because it's an Isser Kares, it goes by you. If for you every food is disgusting, then the reason why you're putter is not because it's not a food, and not because you're not eating it, but it's an ochel that's not the derech le'ochlam. Subjectively for you, now all food is not roi l'achila. So too here, that the derech of Adam, it will be koveya if it's an ochel or not. And that's the question though. Does it go by the way people in fact treat it? That's what Rav holds. Since in fact, based on its taste qualities, it's always chosen as a spice and never served as a dish. That's kavua now as tavlin. And that's what Aram says, it's tavlin v'lo ochel. And then he says, v'chein, all the other foods that really are not roi l'achila intrinsically. This is not an ochel because of a subjective idea of how we use it. But the other things are intrinsically, but it has the same idea as something that's just disgusting. But Rav Sheshe has held that it has to go by its qualities on its own as an ochel. And since it doesn't go by the way it's treated, and since conceptually there's nothing lacking, it's not lacking enough to be removed from the realm of ochel based on its own qualities of ochel, it'll still get a bracha. All right, we'll continue.